And so we've seen the high-minded, we've seen the heathen. And thirdly, let's look at the Hebrew, which will take up the rest of the chapters. Verse 17, he says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and you rest in the law, and you make your boast of God, and you know His will." And that goes back to chapter 12, verse 48 of Luke. You know His will, and you approve things which are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. And you're confident. These are all positives. Look at it. 17 to 20 is all about the things they do. They rest, they boast, they know, they approve, they put things into circulation. And they do all this in verse 19. He says, "You're confident that thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of the knowledge and of the truth in the law." He's talking about something where they see themselves as somebody who actually has the whole thing down. I got this. It's not unlike a person brought up in church all their lives. They know this. I know this. I got this. Press them for a few verses. A little sketchy, but I got this. Really scary thing to be brought up in the family of God sometimes from the ground up without a solid, solid family. I mean, a makeshift family, scary place. It's the frog in the kettle, even worse, because the children come along thinking it's okay just to do externals because that's what maybe they see in their home. Well, what he says in verse 17 to 20, he says, "You rest." He says, "You boast, you know the things of God, you approve," meaning putting to circulation. And you do all this being instructed of the law in verse 18. And you have the form, and therein lies the problem in verse 20. You have the form of knowledge. The Bible says that in the last days perilous times shall come, right? They're going to have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And so here we are. We're looking at a person who's a Hebrew who has the form of it. He can go through all of the things. He can talk about God with clarity. Verse 17 to 20, "You rest." And then, verse 21 to 22, he says, "You steal." He says, "You think you're a light. You think you're a guide." He says, "You think you're a teacher." All those things are wonderful. "You think you have it because you have a form of the law." Verse 21, "Thou therefore which teachest another, do you not teach your own self?" He says, "You that preach that a man should not steal, do you steal?" He's talking to the Hebrew. Hebrew man. Well, we know in Rome, of course, there was Hebrews and Gentiles. And so when he wrote, there was a whole catalog of people who were going to be listening in on what Paul wrote because he was a significant person in this new movement that was afoot. And so when he says, you know, "Do you steal?" Jewish leaders were notorious for stealing from widows, you know. Jesus talks about that when he talks about you put on heavy burdens. Not with one finger will you lift that burden off their back. You're always exploiting widows and so forth. That is one way you could go with that thought. Do you steal? And so it would fit. But the whole tenor of verses 21 to 22 really is kind of interesting when he uses the word steal at the outset. Look what he goes on to say. He says in verse 21, he says, "Do you steal when you tell men don't steal?" He says, "You say that a man should not commit adultery, and dost thou commit adultery?" Now we're talking about Jewish people. It's unconscionable that they would be accused of committing adultery. Well, I would like for you to put in the margin of your Bible, if you would, James 4:4. "You adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity against God?" They love the world. They loved being seen. They loved having long prayers in the marketplace. They loved chief seats in the banqueting halls. They loved all of that. And he's saying, do you, and he's talking to people who are lost now, not converted people, but these are Jewish people, could have been in the Judaizer camp or whatever, because they are listening to Paul, and he's calling them to the mat. He says, "Do you teach somebody not to steal, and do you steal? Do you teach somebody don't commit adultery, and do you commit adultery? Do you abhor idols, and dost thou commit sacrilege?" The New King James says, "Do you rob temples?" It started with steal, and it ends up with rob. And the idea is the idea that they were taking things from the world's varieties of religions, and they were incorporating them into their own experience. They were stepping aside away from the righteousness which is by faith in Christ alone. And they were saying, no, it's Christ, but it's also the law, it's circumcision, it's all these other things. We're going to take a little something from the temple and bring it out here, see? And what was the temple? Temple's done, right? Temple's over. Veil was written too. Jesus, He opened the way. Each of us can come boldly. They were stealing from the temple. What were they stealing? We're going to steal some stuff. We're going to take out some things. We're going to take out keeping the law and keeping the Sabbaths and keeping the high feast days. Why? Because I feel good when you all think I'm really smart because I'm Jewish. It's a scary thing to be the most educated guy in the room and you're Jewish and everybody's saying, what do you have to say? Because after all, your people, man, you're the chosen people. Well, that can be pretty heady. But if you have your heart right, you're not going to be about self-promotion. No. He says you've stolen from the temple and you're bringing it into our circulation, and that's a problem. So he says you rest, you steal. In verse 23 to 25, he says you boast. He says you make us your boast in the law. Through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? The word breaking, there's many words for break. Some mean to crumble, some means to actually break. But here this word has the idea of to sidestep. It's parabeno, means to sidestep. You sidestep the law. You don't want to know what the law truly says. And what did the law truly say? It said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, right? It says, the just shall live by faith, right? And yet they sidestep that because that doesn't serve their ends. They want to be superior. They want to be central. And so he's saying, do you think you boast in the law and then you sidestep it? Because the ultimate expression of the law was represented in Christ. He personally was the only one who could fulfill it. He was the only one who did so perfectly. He was the only one who never once stumbled at all. And when we come to Jesus, we get the satisfaction that He personally did before His Father, and we get that imputed to us. And so we don't sidestep the law. We embrace the law because Jesus represents the satisfaction of that law. Verses 23 to 25, he says, you have a problem, and your problem is representing the law by sidestepping it. You're dishonoring. And then this is a powerful word, and God forbid that it ever be spoken of us. Verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through or because of you. You know, the world looked on the Jews, and they were low men on the totem pole. They were subjects of the Roman Empire because they had so blown it. And he says, the name of God is blasphemed because of you. You know what he's doing? We understand that chapters 1, 2, and 3 is all about condemnation in the sense he wants everybody to get lost. This is bad news, but it's bad news to get them to the good news. You know, you can't come to grips with who we are personally as individuals without looking at the bad news. And the bad news is we're broken. We are flawed and we are desperate and we are poor in spirit. We got nothing to offer God. We can't come to Him and say, God, look at me. He's saying, you guys have robbed the temple. You've brought that into circulation. You're trying to sidestep the law. You boast in the law and you break the law. He says in verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth. That would be robbing the temple. That would be sidestepping the true essence of the law. He says, it verily profiteth, but it only profits you if you keep the law. Now, the word for keep here is not usually you when you talk about keeping the commandments and so forth. This is not that word where it means to guard it. It means to do it. Yeah, circumcision is a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing. It's profitable if you keep the law. If you do the law, if you do perfectly, you rascal, you know you don't. He's telling the Jewish guy, the Hebrew, if you keep the law, that's a good thing if you keep the law. It was all part of the whole package. But if you're a breaker, again, sidestepper of the law, your circumcision is made unto you uncircumcision. In other words, think in terms of circumcision as that which is a tender heart versus that which is a calloused heart. Okay? A circumcised heart is one that is tender to God. That's what He does. When He saves us, He gives us a heart of flesh, where once was a heart of stone. So the contrast is there. He says, but if you sidestep the law, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. In other words, you're callousing yourself by saying, I love the law, boasting in the law, and yet sidestepping it. Constantly sidestepping it. You see the frog in the kettle thing. You say you love God, but in reality you keep sidestepping what He would have for you to do. And he says, in verse 26, he says, therefore, if the uncircumcision, or the Gentile, keeps the righteousness, this word keeps, this word is the one for guards, keeps his eye on, pays attention to, focuses on the righteousness of God. He says, the righteousness of the law. If he's focused on the righteousness of the law, guards it, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And what he's saying is even though he's physically uncircumcised, his heart is circumcised, and that's what God's really looking at, is the heart. In verse 27, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? In other words, this is like judging the angels. Are not the Gentiles who are doing the right thing. And what are they doing? They're fulfilling. And the word is telao. And it means to bring it to its full apogee. It doesn't mean they do it perfectly. It means they found the one who did fulfill it perfectly. If the uncircumcision, if the Gentiles actually fulfill the law, they fulfill it by finding Jesus and grabbing hold and not letting go. He says, those people will judge you because you let him go by. He came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. even to those that believe in His name. And in this verse, He's telling us that their uncircumcision, if they fulfill the law, will judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision thus transgress, or sidestep, same word. You sidestep the law, you sidestep the law. Schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. Galatians, clear as bell. Schoolmaster, bring them to Christ. What'd they do? He came unto His own, they received Him not. And even the Judaizers who came in and wanted to bring in Jesus plus some things, that was not Jesus. Jesus plus anything, not Jesus. Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus sacraments. No, it's Jesus only. And when we trust Him as our Savior, it's an absolute salvation because He is the fulfillment of the law in our behalf, which the whole book of Romans unfolds for us as you read on through it. He goes on to say, you rest, you steal, you boast. And then he comes down to verse 28 and he says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now what's very interesting is how he unfolds this is he talks about the idea of the internal and the external, the outward. He says, being a Jew is not outwardly. The idea is of phanos. It's the idea of that which shines. It's not what it looks like on the outside. That's not what you look at. It's what you look at in the crypto, in the secret of the heart. Where is your heart? That's what you always got to ask. Who is it that I am communing with in my day-to-day? When I go through my day, what are the thoughts? You know, do you find yourself just checking yourself once in a while? Lord, sorry about that. Lord, I didn't mean that. God, sorry. You know, just a little self-speak. Because some people go with the flow of the life that they have. And they change God into an image that makes it accommodating to every kind of evil. But in the heart of the believer, the inward secret place where God sees, the Bible says that the one who is truly just in God's sight, the one truly acceptable in verse 29, is not the one who man praises, but the one who God praises. And the word for praise is the idea of writing a story upon them. And that answers to verse 17, where he says, he saves from faith to faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. God is writing a story in your life. He's writing a story in your life, and it's your own, it's unique, it's another facet of a diamond called grace, and your story is your own. And when He brings you before other people and He shows you being blessed, even when you don't deserve it, sometimes He'll just lift you up when you don't deserve it. You made a bad decision, like Paul, when we saw in our passage in 2 Corinthians 2 last week, he said, I had a great door open, I went the other way, and yet God makes us to triumph everywhere we go. Because God is writing a story on your life of grace. And He just loves to lavish it on you. But what He's looking at is not perfection. He's looking for progress. And when you're progressing in grace and you're growing in grace, He writes a story that complements that because He wants people to see what it looks like. It's a good word. The condemnation that comes threefold. He brings the people face to face, three different people. He brings the high-minded face to face with who they are and what they are. He brings the heathen face to face with their responsibility. And He brings the Hebrew back to the fore. And He says, you need to think about how you're sidestepping the law. Because it's all about perfection. And if you can't be perfect, better find some other way. And that's to lead us to Jesus.